Hello and welcome to the Her Sports Show. I'm your host, Jessica Gardner. Joining me today is the historic Irish weightlifting athlete, Tammy Nguyen. Let's get into it.
So Tammy, you recently went on to become Ireland's first senior medal at the recent European Weightlifting Championships in Armenia, and you earned a bronze medal.
But yes.
You're not only a professional athlete, you're also a wife and a mother and a business yes. owner. You really yes. are superwoman.
I've had people do say that, yes, but I'm just Tam.
yes. So your family immigrated from Vietnam when yes. you were six, if that's yes. correct. Do you have any memories before moving to Ireland? And what was it like growing up in a new country?
So when I first came to Ireland, it was very daunting because it's a new country and I had no English. I had to learn English all by myself, well, obviously through school. It was very scary at the start because, number one, I didn't fit in because I'm Asian. And I'm probably, in a classroom, there's always one or two one Asian girl and one Filipino or something like that in every single classroom. And unfortunately, I didn't blend in. It was very tough and very hard at the start to be a different race. But now I don't really care because I'm proud of who I am now. Younger, I was very, let's say quite, it was very scary for me to fit in when I was younger. Yeah.
Okay. And did you move here with your parents? And so just yeah. for your family, who all came along?
Yeah, so my dad came over with me and my brother, who is Nat. He's actually Olympian by now. He came over with my mom 2 years later. It was very hard at the start for me and my dad because we came over here with nothing in our hands, zero. And my dad, don't know how he did it. I don't really remember anything, but all I know was we went through a very, very hard time. We couldn't afford for anything. And this is very important to say and tell my story from the start, because a lot of people who meet me now think I was given everything, but unfortunately I had to work for everything to this day. So I'm absolutely honored to have to bring my past into this. My only treat when I was younger was a Kit Kat on a Friday evening. And my dad was working on 160 euro a week back then, and the rent was 120 euro a week. He did say that to me, and I was like, how was we living on 40 euro a week? And he says, we just had to go through it, and that was it. Wow. He made sure he got the cheapest of everything to make sure he feeds me before he fed him. So that's how class went about. And it was very rough time, very, very tough. I could see my dad's hardship. And I remember he used to cycle me. He used to bring me to school, go to work, and then collect me from school, feed me, then go to work. I was mine myself when I was 6 or 7. It was a tough time back then, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But yeah. Also, it sounds like you have an amazing father and your parents as well. I'm sure it was very difficult for them to leave everything that they had ever known and move to a new country. And sacrifice so much for you and your brother. So it's really inspiring.
Absolutely. Like the Vietnamese culture is known for family. Family is everything to me. And that's basically it. Like, we have each other's back all the time. Yeah.
That's really lovely to hear.
Thank you.
And so you're competing in elite weightlifting and your brother is a badminton player.
Yeah.
Correct. So how was it growing up? Like, did you guys both try different sports? How exactly did you end up in weightlifting and he ended up in badminton?
So It was very, what I was going to say, it was very, how do I say, Nat grew up playing badminton. He was into football as well. He was very good into football, but there was a time that he had to choose between football or badminton, and he chose badminton then, which came down the right road, because was he going to get, you know, sponsorship, and was he going to be recognised through football? The answer was not really no, because there was a lot of people into it. I was always very active when I was growing up. During in school, I was always part of a team, running. I did a lot of Irish dancing. That's probably how I got really strong legs. I was pretty good at Irish dancing, and any school sports I was always involved in all the time. And that's how I probably built my base, but I always have an interest in sports. My dad has an interest in sports, and we just must have taken off from him. I don't know why I have an interest in sports. I don't know why. Why just do?
But I can also imagine how, I'm from South Africa, and I remember also for me growing up, I think sport was also something that was just introduced to me from a very young age, but that's where I made most of my friends, and that's where I got to meet like most people. So I assume also it must have been a big help for you also coming from a different country and then actually getting used to Ireland's culture in a way by also just being a part of the sport.
Of course, absolutely. I was also always involved in sports. So sports gave me, in a way, that I was interacting with people. Thinking back that now, yes, it did. It got me to interact with a lot of people, you know, and I'm grateful for that. But I really, really, when I really started really getting into sports, like the likes of CrossFit, it obviously made me blend in even more in the adulthood version. Yeah.
Okay. So at what point did you realize, okay, I want to take weightlifting seriously?
So I joined a CrossFit gym back in when I was in my leaving cert. I think I was like 16 in my leaving cert, but I was always going to the normal gym 15 or for about a year or two. I was just copying people doing bench and squats and deadlifts. Hadn't a clue what I was doing. Probably the worst technique ever. And you know, you ever see people in the corner, you're like, oh, bad technique. That's probably me there. But I just copied people, and then I seen this girl. She just looked like really, really toned. And then I asked her then, what did she do? She said she did CrossFit. I joined a CrossFit gym. And the first minute I joined a CrossFit gym, one of the coaches says to me, you have a really good talent at this. Like, you just have a natural act. And I go, I don't know what that is. And he says, no, you're actually really good. Like, you can pick things up really well. I goes, oh, okay. And then he says, you should do a weightlifting competition. I didn't really know what that thing was. And then he says, right, let's get you into more snatch and clean and jerk. I goes, oh, okay then. And then I joined my first weightlifting competition for the standards in Ireland. And then for my first competition, I qualified for Junior Euros.
Wow.
And that's when I go, yeah, I goes, I'm probably really good at this. And then I realized then, yeah, I could go somewhere with this. Yeah, because for a long time, Nat had his sport, which is badminton. I was always wondering what was my sport, but I could never find it. So I found weightlifting through CrossFit. Yeah.
And leading up to your first competition, do you remember how you felt? Were you nervous, or what was going through your mind?
Leading to my first ever competition, I am very, I was very young, so I didn't really care. I'm always bubbly. I'm like, yeah, it is what it is. Like, I wasn't really that nervous. Maybe it's just my personality. Of course, I was a bit nervous at the start, but I remember I had to weight cut, and it was like a 48 kilo weight category, and I was like only a kilo out, and usually that's okay. Even for now, for me, that's okay. But I didn't eat for 3 days beforehand, just to make sure I cut. I went and I did a bath at the start, and I did completely backwards, but I still went out and made the list. Don't know how that happened. Yeah,
that is crazy. And then, so for so long, society's had a very fixed idea on how a female body should look, and I think being too muscular was always seen as something that wasn't encouraged for women up until probably the last decade and a half or so. And weightlifting is also a male-dominated sport. So did you ever doubt the direction of weightlifting because of these sort of stereotypes?
No, because I don't really care what people think. Well, obviously everyone cares what people think, but it doesn't matter to me on what I look like. I really have big legs, and sometimes I walk like a man because I'm like swiveling across here. But I don't care what people think of what other people think. I know at the end of the day it will benefit me and it will benefit my sport. And the bigger legs I have, the stronger I am. So that's the way I looked at it as. But there was a point when you do a lot of pulls, like, you know, deadlifts, my trunk, which is my, like, you know, my abdominum, is just pure straight like this because I do a lot of pulling. I don't have the curve. And when I wear dresses, I do look a bit more masculine than I should. So sometimes I'm like, right, I have to consider on what other dress I should wear, but that's the only time I would think. But that's when I was back single. So now I don't really care if I'm married. So I'm like, if he likes me, he likes me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But
okay. Yeah. And do you remember if there was an exact moment or point where you realized that, okay, weightlifting is my sport, it's my passion, and I want to pursue it, like, competitively?
Weightlifting has always been a passion of mine, and I can give you an example why, because I have never gotten paid to do weightlifting.
Wow.
All this weightlifting time right now, winning that medal, I haven't got paid. I've never gotten a penny from winning the medal. All the time I get into, like, training, I don't get paid for it. I've never gotten funding. The only time I have ever gotten funding, and this is probably the first ever athlete, and every single athlete in Ireland is this. And you could see they come out because of pure love for passion for weightlifting. And people ask me, why do you do this? And I can't give them a reason why. I just say it's genuine, a passion of mine. I enjoy doing it. And I don't get paid for what I'm doing. No. And obviously, if you don't get paid for what you're doing, it goes down to love and passion. Mm. And that is that. The only time I've ever actually gotten ever sort of money was €3,000, which was off the Olympic Federation, of the OFI. It was called Make a Difference Grant. And that went towards my training camp over in Budapest. Okay. But other than that, all this expenses and my own personal coach, I have put out my own personal savings.
Wow. And I do not have a lot of knowledge into the weightlifting industry in Ireland specifically. So is it the same for men as well?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
So weightlifting Ireland is in sports Ireland, is known as an underdeveloped sport. Okay. It's not it's not a high performance sport. So weightlifting Ireland only gets €55,000 a year to fund for 600 athletes.
Wow.
And they do in their own spare time, and that's the beauty of it. And it's quite sad, but I hope it goes somewhere. But with all this work and all this hardship, something will come, and I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. And I think especially with you also, sort of what I've gathered through my research as well, you seem to have sort of pioneered a big interest in terms of people wanting to get to know a bit more about weightlifting.
Well, let's say I've opened doors for Olympic Federation already. So now they have signed an agreement with the OFI. I have opened doors for Sports Ireland, so they are now talking to the High Performance Director. I've gotten a load of media attention on weightlifting. You can see it's all over media, you know. And this is the first time probably weightlifting has been spoken about in the likes of years and years, and it's a positive thing. So I'm glad that I can open the doors for that's for a younger generation of athletes. Yeah,
that's really inspiring.
No, thank you.
And then also just to get a better idea of your timeline of events, so can you maybe please give me a rundown of when you decided to start your businesses and what businesses you are currently running? And then when you decided to get married and start a family, can you just give me a rundown of that, please?
Of course, absolutely. So basically, I started when I was in the middle of training in 2015 and 2016, the end of 2016, going towards 2007, I think so. I can't remember the exact dates, but I was about 20 by then. And then I just said that I was funding myself. I was doing eyelashes to be able to make money to save myself to go and compete for Ireland. And then it just kind of hit me one day. I said, like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Like, why would I keep on doing this and training 4 or 5 hours a day and not getting paid for it? And like the amount of pain I'm going through on my body and getting injured and getting paid for this, for that. It was worth it. And we didn't have a national team. We didn't have a high performance place. So I made the decision to leave weightlifting and pursue into business, because I said that I could really see my business going somewhere with this. Now, I didn't have a business back then. I was doing eyelashes. 4 months later, then I opened up a salon, which is called Tammy Lash, which is, I was 20 back then. And then I opened my first salon, I think about 2021 or something like that. And then that's how it went about. And then my business pursued. I just kept on saying, okay, what's the next step? What's the next goal for my business? My business launched and it expanded. And then a couple of years later, I met my partner then. And then I had kids. During the meantime, I had kids. I said I always wanted to open up a CrossFit gym. Mark is his name. And I had Lily back then. Lily was 8 months. This is how fearless I am. Lily was 8 months and I said, I want to open up my own CrossFit gym. So I went and I opened my own CrossFit gym when Lily was 8 months after I had her baby. And I opened my second business then, which is CrossFit Baldoyle. I think when I was 23 with my partner. And we did have another gym that was down in Waterford, but that one is gone now. And during that time, we actually had running three businesses at that time. And then now the other one's gone because we sold it. During COVID then, I said I want to bring out my own clothing range, which is called Complex. And that's at a pause right now because I can't give attention to it. Mm. Because obviously you have to launch different thing every 3-6 months, like new season, new range. Unfortunately, training has all my attention now, so that's out of pause until afterwards. I'll continue to that. And then I had my second baby then, and then 6 months after I had my second baby, I returned back to training.
Wow.
Some timeline, isn't it?
Yeah, what made you decide to get back into competing? Like, when did you think, okay, that's it, I want to go back now?
Yeah, so I said deep down in my heart said that when I was leaving weightlifting at the start, when time is right, I'll go back. And my instinct, I listen to my gut instinct all the time. I really, really trust it. So my instinct was telling me to leave weightlifting to pursue into business. And then I said, when time is right, I'll listen to my instincts and I'll go back. So it wasn't the moment right time when all my businesses were launching. And then I did an article back in 2015. And what one of my ever goals to say was to qualify for the Olympics with my brother. Mm. And then when I was traveling back, when I was, Nat went and pursued on to the Olympic, which was one of his dreams. I then pursued on to business. And then when he walked out of the opening ceremony is when it hit me. I says, oh my God. One of my ever goals was to qualify for the Olympics. Nat went and did that. I didn't. And that stayed with me for a little bit. And I have this really horrible feeling in my throat. Oh, I was like, oh, this is not a nice feeling and I don't like it. And it's a very disheartening feeling because I'm such a goal achiever. I love achieving goals, and that's one goal that I have not achieved yet. So I said, right, I said to my partner then, my husband, I want to go back to training and qualify for the Olympics. Do you think I could make it? I was 24 back then. I would only start to turn 25 in a couple of months later. And he was like, yeah, I think you do. I think you've got time. And because at the right age, because I'm at the perfect age for peaking right now. I was 24, so we had 2 years, 2.5 years to go. By the time I'm peaked, that's my age peaked. Do you get me? And then it was perfect timing. And he was like, yeah, I think you have time and you do have potential and you have strength as well. We just need to find you a good coach. And I says, are you sure? And he says, yeah, I believe you can do it. And then I went back then.
That is amazing. And also that Mark has been so supportive as well.
He is very supportive. He's kind. He's just so lovely, so genuine. I would be lost without him at the moment. Like nobody sees the behind the work scene, what I go through. Then Mark. Yes. Like I might have this footage of obviously interviews and the athlete life and the mom life, but he sees me at my worst days.
That is great. And then again, also just in terms of dates, so what was the year when you stopped competing and what was the year when you started?
2017 is when I think 2017. Yeah, it was the start of 2017 is when I stopped competing, but I was still training in between. Like I was still going to the gym and I kept my general strength up. All that was fine. And then 2017, and then I came back training at July 2022.
Okay.
About 5 years in between. Yeah.
Wow. And then also women's bodies go through many changes during pregnancy and in general always going through changes. So
have you got kids?
No, I don't.
No, okay. Anybody who I get interviewed by don't have kids, so they don't understand, but I will explain. Yes, it's very true and it's horrific, and I'm so sorry to say that. Only people who have kids will tell you and let you know themselves that what their body go through, it's hell. Like you are putting 20 kilos on when you have a baby. You might not know that. I didn't know that until I put the weight on. And afterwards, when the baby just comes out, your belly is like a balloon.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry to even say this to you because you're like, what? But it's the harsh truth reality of after having a kid. And nobody likes to hear that. And I'm like, why do you not like to hear it? Because you need to hear it to know what you're expecting. I did not know that I had to go through all that. I just thought I had the baby and it pops out and then my body is back. No. It was like going through a massive change, a circle. It was like, woo, like this. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah. And then to get back into training competitively again, how was that adjustment for you?
So basically, I had to cut down. The Olympic weight category changes. I was 57 kilos at that time, and I had to cut down from 57 till about 51, about 7 kilos off body fat, and making sure my strength goes up while cutting weight, while still having that. Is it called postpartum, all that shebang? I'll go through that postpartum. So my looking back now, my body was under a lot of stress. But I just kept on continuing because I just want to achieve that goal so much. Wow. And I still, yeah. You're like, whoa.
No, I still want kids, but I can imagine that if you're a professional athlete, it's a lot for female athletes who have kids.
Go from normal after having kids to get to yourself to be professional, making sure your diet and everything that is on point. It is hard. I'm not going to say people find it's hard dieting, Like, try do it while you're cutting. Cutting is like, obviously you cut weight. I can't eat when I'm cut weight. Like, I have to be really on restrict diets. So I just smell donuts. And like, I'm like, sniffing donuts. I'm like,
oh no.
But it takes so much commitment. So I do that. Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
And then going back to the weightlifting championships in April.
Yeah.
How did it feel when you realized, oh my gosh, I am the first ever senior medal at a European championships for weightlifting?
I cried my eyes out at that moment. It wasn't because I was the first female person, and I haven't spoken about this yet to anybody. I had a lot of personal and business problems before the European Championships that no one knew about. It was only myself and my partner knew.
Mm.
It took me a lot to go training, and obviously I can say because of personal reasons. Mm. It's personal and more stuff, personal reasons, but I felt like giving up many, many times before the European Championships, only because I have put so much money, invested so much money into my coach and coming over here, and that was over a year and I didn't see my reward. Number second was training is so hard, so mentally I was fatigued, and I had personal stuff going on as well in the background. Obviously I can't say for what reasons. And then I went through that massive mental barrier for me, and then I the weights that I lifted in the European Championships, I do that on a regular basis, so it didn't matter for that. I knew I could get it. But winning that medal was a lot more to me because what I have been through before, prior to the medal, that I felt, wow, I did that. You get me? I am very grateful, and I'm very like honored to be the first person to medal. But to me, winning that medal was only a little tick towards my next thing.
Yes.
Like, some people would find that was a massive tick, but I see it's only a small thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to over celebrate myself, you get me?
Yeah.
But my goal hasn't been achieved yet. My goal is Olympics, and that hasn't been achieved yet. This gave me a slight bit boost in confidence is all I say. But the I was more happy on the journey to leading to that medal, and how hard I, like, leaving my kids and go on a training camp for 3 weeks, that was tough. Mm. And then my kids leaving me and I could go and compete, like, I was like, that was tough already as well, you know. But the whole journey on how I struggled going through a lot of personal stuff beforehand towards get that, I felt like quitting a lot of times. Yeah, that's why I was over emotional, but nobody knows about this. That's the reason why. That's
and it just shows your determination and strength, so that is really great. Thank you for sharing.
Of course, absolutely, yeah, no problem. Yeah.
And your kids are quite young, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so how
old are they?
Yes, that, but also, do they understand what you are doing as well?
No, they know I do up down as they call it, and that is all. They sometimes you go on YouTube and they're like, oh look, that's mommy doing up down. They know I do some sort of training or something like that, but they don't know anything got to do with the level, the training that I'm doing. They're absolutely clueless. Yeah. So I'm a bit like, I'm excited to tell them when they grow up. Be like, mommy was going through all this, and then you were here with me, but they don't know anything. No.
And how old are they?
Baby Mark is 2 and Lily is 4. So they're both in like preschool now. So it's kind of a lot easier for me to manage now as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure any athlete, the coach has a massive role to play as well.
Absolutely, so yeah.
How did your trainer coach relationship with your coach begin?
It's a very random how I found him. So my brother's coach found him for me.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, it was very random. We were having dinner and I asked him, did he know an Olympic weightlifting coach? And then he says, leave it with me. And then he got back to me a couple of days and he says, actually, I know somebody who wants, who can come over here and, you know, change it and obviously like help me towards my goal. He was an Olympian in Athens 2004. Faisal Barahom is his name. And he was a Commonwealth gold medalist, all that beforehand. He came over here then. We have a great relationship, like really, really good relationship. It's a very professional relationship. Mm. I have a lot of respect towards my coach. I would never disrespect him in any ways. Mm. Basically, he's the coach. I'm the athlete. In training, after I finish every single rep, I look at him and I say, what am I doing wrong? What's this and what's that? He tells me what to do and I listen and I do it. We have a really, really good relationship, let's say, and he listens to me and I listen to him. So the day that I feel really fatigued, and let's say I was on my menstrual cycle, and I'm like, coach, I don't really think I can go and fly a bit more, he didn't push me too hard because he knows that if I tell him I can't do it, then he doesn't push me as hard. Yeah. But other than that, we have a great relationship. It's like literally 10 out of 10. And he respects me and I respect him. Yeah.
That's great. And then in terms of the Olympic weightlifting event, so what exactly does it consist of and what do you need to achieve in order to qualify?
So for basically, your weight division? Put it this way, it's a snatch and it's a clean and jerk. Do you get me? Snatch and clean and jerk. And a snatch is from the ground to overhead. And then the clean and jerk is from the floor to your shoulder and to press it up. So at the moment right now, my total is 173. I need about a 183 to qualify. So I need a 10 kilo on top of that, which I believe I have. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
And having a 5 kilo on the snatch and a 5 kilo on the clean and jerk. My general strength, I have that already.
Okay, great. Yeah. And in terms of how are you feeling about qualifying? Are you happy with the progress that you're making? How much time do you have as well?
So I have another year. Anything can happen in the space of 1 year. So you can see the last year that I came back and, you know, I had to rebuild, my coach rebuilds me up from after having a baby 6 months beforehand and building me up here. So anything can happen in a year. That's the main thing. And I'm in good progress right now and I'm happy. I'm happy and I'm confident is the main thing. Yeah.
That's great. And when is the next big competition?
My next big one is World Championships in Saudi Arabia. And probably I return back then in December for another competition back then. It depends how World Championship goes, but mostly I'll mostly be kind of peaking towards like December or something like that. Yeah, we still have a lot of, we have 1, 2, 3, about 3, 4 competitions to go.
Okay.
And results will be coming into the end of April or May, this day next year.
Okay, wow.
Probably about that, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then can you talk me through your training schedule a bit? So what does an average day of training look like for you?
So a lot of people ask me, and then what do I do in training? Like in training and my training schedule, I first wake up in the morning. I probably drop the kids to crash or drop the baby over to my mom. I go to training in the morning. It depends what my coach has on. Got to do either number one plyometrics, some accessories at the morning, some light trainer, something like that. And then I go home, I rest, and then I go back in for an evening session. The evening session is usually like a lot heavier. And then I'll go training then. It depends if I have singles or doubles. And then and then I go home, I eat and I rest then. And in the meantime, if I have any work or any like emails to do or any stuff to do, like personal in between, I try to do that between training. And on my rest days then, I make sure I recover, which is that I don't do too much. And I make sure I get a massage in, which my husband is my full-time therapist. I'm very blessed. And I go to the chiropractor to make sure my body's A1 to get right for the next day. So my rest day is practically as important as my training days.
Okay. Yeah. And in terms of juggling being a parent and a wife and a business owner, an athlete, how is that for you? How did you find that once you got back into competing again, it took a while for you to get into a good routine, or were you able to just balance everything out? How was that process?
I have a very good support system around me. Very, very good support system. My husband, my parents, my family, they all know my goals. So they just basically help me out whenever I want. But mostly in the mornings, my mom and my dad does help me in the mornings. In the evenings then is my husband. Yeah. So I just have a really good support system around me. The businesses, my staff knows that I'm like training for, I'm trying to qualify for the Olympics. So they try not to annoy me so much. And so does the members as well. Everyone know now I have a goal to achieve. So don't interfere with my life too much. And they try to leave me alone is what I gathered. Yeah.
Okay. And then what would you say, or what do you think is your biggest motivation?
My biggest motivation? So my biggest motivation, I have two. My brother is one of my motivation. I see him every single day. Like people are like I have a full-time Olympian in, well, obviously living across like my brother. I see the way he eats. I see the way he trains. I see the way he's consistency. I see the way, the path that he went through. So he motivates me, because if I slack in one bit of training and I say, I can't let my brother beat me. I can't let my brother go past me. So that's why it motivates me to push as hard as he is. And my second motivation is my kids. I know it's very strange to say, and people are like, oh, kids will probably give you like it's hard and everything. Yes, I get it's hard, but until you have kids, you will know that you will do everything in your power to make sure that they're okay. And I believe my kids are okay, but what motivates me is I want them to look at me when I'm older and be like, that's my mom. My mom has been to the Olympics. Your mom hasn't. My mom was the first medalist. Your mom isn't. That motivates me, as I want to make my kids proud and to make sure my kids look at me and they are proud of me. And I want to set examples to my kids as well. Yeah. If they want to be like, you know, younger, they want to be athletes as they're growing up, they make sure I give them a footstep to follow. I don't slack in that thing. So that motivates.
And then in terms of being a female athlete yourself, what are your thoughts on the representation of female athletes in the media, and also opportunities presented to female athletes?
Like, wow, women in sports now is booming. Like it is booming. It's more important than men now, but women need to be funded more. No, like obviously, like you understand, like women in sport and now all the federation and the whole topic is booming, but it's very important that the athletes, the women athletes, get paid as well and deserve the recognition as other sports. Does that make sense? I agree. Say, like, how do I explain it? Women in sport, like, it's really big out there on media, but I feel like our recognition isn't being raised up there as male sports. No. And maybe I'm taking it up on more on a personal level with that, because I have won that medal, but I haven't received any funding, received any towards it. So maybe it's taken on a more on a personal level for me, but that's the way I look at it. We just need to be a bit more recognized more. Like, the women in sporting is recognized, but the athletes themselves need to be recognized more.
Yes. And I think, like you said as well, athletes such as yourself, you really are causing a lot of conversation around, okay, but now where is the representation for this athlete? Where is the funding for this athlete? And I think this is such a great stepping stone towards something bigger, and hopefully in the future, or fairly soon, I would hope that we will start to see some progress being made. And these people in authority will actually be taking women in sport more seriously.
Of course. You know, like, it's a topic that I don't really kind of mostly speak about, but as now as I'm involved in women in sport, it's such a powerful thing, and it's a very good thing to try and push women into be more active. And it's not a masculine thing to be training. It's absolutely okay. But if money's been made in women in sports, everyone would jump on it. If women in sports, if it's easy as influence marketing, everyone would jump on it straight away. Because at the moment right now, everyone is an influencer, you know? You can, like, if money was in the market, people would be in it straight away. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And
so I pray to God some people would read that Her Sports article interview and be like, I want to sponsor her. And I'm like, yay! I want to pay her.
And what advice would you give to another woman who just wants to get more involved in training or sport, or just wants to feel fitter and get stronger?
You do you. You do you, and that's all that matters. Whatever your goals are, whatever you want to achieve, whatever you felt like you have missed out before having a child, you go and you do it, because nobody else is going to do it for you. And that's the best advice I can give for you. It's basically you do you, and that is all. Do what makes you happy. And at the end, and you put the hard work in, and at the end, there will be a reward coming. It might be a long, long step, but you have to work and grind out hard. I was grinding out maybe like all that years in weightlifting. It's only now that I really got the exposure that I deserve. And how many hours and work I have put in to obviously made myself get to where that level is. It takes a lot of hard work and commitment to it. But my best advice is to every young girl is that, number one, to young girls, that be careful with the as you're young right now, there's consequences of your actions, is my main thing for younger girls. Whatever you do, you make sure you think double on the step that you're about to take, because there's consequences in your actions. That's what I say to younger girls. Make sure on the decision that you make is a positive decision and not a negative decision. That's my advice to younger girls. My advice to mammies is you do you and do what makes you happy. If you have a goal to achieve and you haven't achieved before your child, yes, you go and you achieve that goal, because nothing is impossible. Example, me, you know, and you might have a child, you might have one, or you might have two, and that's okay. Like, and my business advice to business people out there is, my dad actually gave me this advice, and it's the best advice I've ever gotten. Money can be made. It's okay to lose money. but it's a valuable lesson is learned from whatever the mistake is in business. But if you lose money can be made back. But the main is, did you learn a valuable lesson from it? So I have given you 3 advice from 3 different perspectives.
That is great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, sorry, very wise words from your dad as well. He sounds really, really incredible.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you again for the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to Her Sports social platforms to get the latest Women in Sports content. Thank you.